Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Earlier this week, I got an email with a Bible study in it from a friend of mine, Pastor Ben Stratton. He pastors Farmington Baptist Church in Farmington, Kentucky. I've never met Ben. He's kind of the head of the J.L. Spencer Historical Society. And you say, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, or maybe J.H. Spencer wrote a history on the Kentucky Baptists, the most extensive history. And He did a really good job. Well, Brother Stratton wants to continue promoting the historical values of the old Baptists. Now, what's interesting to me is Brother Stratton is probably one of the only Southern Baptist pastors that I know of that still holds to biblical church truth. And I mean, he doesn't just hold to it, he preaches it. And he sent me this Bible study, and I thought, this is fantastic, and I'm going to use it. The question is, what causes Baptist churches to depart from the faith? 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. In this study that Brother Stratton sent, he had a unique historical fact that I've thought was noteworthy. He said this about the Kentucky Baptists. When it comes to biblical truth, many Kentucky Baptist churches... Now, we'll get into what he means by the third generation. Because see, there's a progression, the way that churches depart from the faith. But this struck me. In 1948, only 6 of the 2,254 Southern Baptist churches in Kentucky accepted alien immersion and practiced open communion. Only 6 out of 2,254. That's a remarkable number back in 1948. What has happened? Because probably you can turn those numbers around. Hopefully there's 6 that still don't receive alien immersion or practice open communion. Now here's what really tore me up. When I was in Bible college, we took a class on systematic theology. We used T.P. Simmons' book as our textbook. T.P. Simmons, of course, was pastor here at one time. He wrote systematic studies of Bible doctrine. And included in that class, we had to read this book right here, The Church and the Ordinances, by Buell Kazee. I love his name. And wouldn't it be great to be named Buell Kazee? Now, the Kazees in Kentucky were also famous bluegrass musicians. I mean, they were noteworthy musicians. But he was a famous Baptist preacher. Buell Kazee pastored the First Baptist Church. This book is called The Church and the Ordinances. And it has, I mean, it's an excellent work. I had to read it, study it, was tested on it when I was in college back in the 80s. Now here's what's interesting. He pastored the First Baptist Church of Moorhead, Kentucky from 1930 to 1952. He stepped down and then began to teach Bible college at Lexington Baptist College. And he influenced a lot of Baptist preachers. Here's the point I want to get to. The unique story of First Baptist Church, Moorhead, Kentucky. On April 20th, 2024. Now this isn't far from where we're at. It's just a Bible Belt. The First Baptist Church of Moorhead, Kentucky posted on their public Facebook page, Happy Pride of Moorhead Festival Day, stating they would celebrate the LGBTQIA+ community. Underneath the words Happy Pride in all caps and rainbow colors, this post declared, yeah, we know we're not your ordinary Baptist church. Now, it is surprising enough that a formerly Southern Baptist church that was started in 1885, located in the county seat of Rowan County, or Rowan County, however they say it, Kentucky, is doing this. But there's more to this story. Buell Kazee, who was born in 1900, died in 1976, pastored First Baptist Church of Moorhead, Kentucky, from 1930 to 1952. And he was a conservative. Hey, folks, I'm not talking politically, I'm talking about biblically. I don't know where he stood politically. He probably was very conservative. But in 1965, he authored this book, The Church and the Ordinances, which sets forth the truth about the Lord's church being a local, visible, called out assembly, that one that Jesus started, promised perpetuity and succession to, that he went through the ordinances of baptism, the four aspects of baptism, and then the importance of observing the Lord's Supper correctly only as a church. So he taught against open communion. It's one of the best books on the subject. It's right to the point. In 1952, Kazee stepped down from pastoring to begin teaching at Lexington Baptist College, which was started by Clarence Walker. I could see his picture in my mind, but I couldn't get his name there for a minute. And Brother Kazee had a really positive influence on a lot of young Baptist preachers in the South. So what causes a Baptist church to make a 180-degree turn in just 72 years? How is that possible? Now, mind you, this church has a storied history. T.P. Simmons pastored this church. I mean, he wrote one of the best systematic theologies. Baptists have used it all over the country. It'd be a crying shame to see Mount Pleasant go the way of these churches as they're doing today. Now, how does it happen? Well, it doesn't happen suddenly. there's a downward progression. First Baptist Church of Moorhead first moved to begin practicing open communion and open baptism. That's usually the first sign that a church is departing from the faith. This is really simple. You've got to keep the ordinances as they were delivered. We've always been real strict about Baptist baptism and then the observance of the Lord's Supper. We restrict it to members of Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church. And we don't back up an inch from that. We don't apologize for that. It's biblically taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Well, since the 1990s, First Baptist Church of Moorhead has been associated with the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. Now listen to this. A group that denies the infallibility and inerrancy of the Scriptures. So, this is a Baptist church, or at one time, a Baptist church with one of the soundest pastors you could ask for, who taught them the truth. And now, they're celebrating sodomy and perversion. In the year 2000, First Baptist Church Moorhead left the Bracken Baptist Association because they wanted to ordain women. I'm sorry. Women are not ordained as deacons or pastors in the Bible. The congregation is no longer part of the Kentucky Baptist Convention or the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, I'm not a proponent of conventions. But I will tell you this. Historically, there were a lot of sound Baptists in the Southern Baptist Convention in the 1800s and early 1900s. They're few and far in between. I don't make a sweeping statement because I do know some men that hold the church truth and the doctrines of grace. This brother does. Brother Ben Stratton. But the point is this. It's an illustration that New Testament churches can and do depart from the faith if they don't hold fast. The Bible's clear that churches can turn away, move away from sound doctrine and forsake the truth. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Now, when you put that "the" in front of faith, it's speaking about the doctrines that we hold dear. The truths, the infallibility of Scripture, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gospel as the only means of salvation, the inspiration of the Holy Scriptures, the infallibility of the Holy Scriptures, the resurrection of Christ as a cardinal truth, the teaching of the Lord's church, local, visible, the second coming, all kinds of doctrines that godly Christian live in, all these things. The faith that was once delivered unto the saints. But in the last days, there are going to be people that forsake the faith to lay hold of lies and deception. And what's sad is, think of people in that First Baptist Church of Moorhead, they think they're doing right. Because they haven't been taught the truth. If you can get to the place where you can accept what they're doing, then you've completely forsaken Christian truth. for worldly error. Revelation 2:5 says, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." You see, a church can lose its candlestick. Candlestick symbolically is a source of light. It's a symbol of life in homes. And if the candlestick is removed, it signifies that the church has lost the light of God's Word and is devoid of life. It becomes dead. Now, it may have all the appearances of life. Now, if you remember, he rebuked the Ephesus church because they had left their first love. And when a church departs from Christ, His truth, His commandments, His doctrines, and His church, they're going to have their candlestick removed. A church may drift on biblical morality, such as homosexuality, biblical inspiration, Baptist distinctives, or other theological issues. But folks, here's what will keep a church strong. You have to regularly teach biblical doctrine to the congregation. Now, I know sometimes it may be boring when we go through doctrines of the Bible that I feel as though are really essential. But Titus chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." Here's the responsibility of a pastor or elder. You have to know sound doctrine, that which is safe, wholesome, true. Doctrine is simply teaching from the Word of God. Positively, a pastor needs to be able to exhort and encourage the people to believe biblical doctrine. How many times have you heard me say, "Know what you believe and why you believe it"? And then you also have to be able to convince or rebuke the gainsayers, those who would desire to contradict the truth. And you know, for years, Baptist pastors did an admirable job of that through the years. But what's sad today is in most Baptist churches, probably in Lawrence County, if I were to go and just and not try to sound like a know-it-all, but just ask people to tell me what they believe about regeneration, the new birth. Who's the author of the new birth? How does it come about? It's the Holy Spirit. He gives life. Can you tell me a little bit about what happens when someone is justified by faith? Remember, we did a whole series on justification by faith, and then the evidence of justification by faith. I fear that most churches today are not biblically grounded. They're not doctrinally grounded. Sadly, I think there's a lot of people that couldn't even tell you what the gospel is. The most fundamental message that a Baptist church must be not just familiar with, but in love with. Because we're to preach it to every creature. For years, pastors taught these truths. And what I try to do is, as a general rule, I try to pick one service and do some doctrinal study. I think I'm going to go through a book that I wrote. It was actually based on T.P. Simmons' book on systematic theology. I think I'm going to go through that book and update it and maybe print it again, Outlines of Systematic Theology. That was my title. But anyway, just go from A to Z. What doctrines does the Bible teach, and we as a church, what do we stand for? Now, I've done that through the years. I've taught on church truth systematically. I've taught on the doctrines of grace systematically. I've taught on the doctrine of the gospel, missions, the second coming, Christian living, doctrinal messages. Because I think they're important. And then we've got to pass on these things to the next generation. You say, well, we ain't got a whole lot of young people here tonight. Let's pray that God will bring some men. And that He'll strengthen the young people that we have, the young families that we have. That they will stand for the truth as it is in Jesus. Because Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. This truth has to be passed on. This is how you keep from departing from the faith. There's four generations in that verse. Paul, Timothy, faithful men, and others also. It has to be passed on. And if we neglect that principle, the result is what one generation believes, the second generation assumes, and the third generation forgets and loses. And I think it's happened a lot in Baptist churches. That's why a lot of times when people come in and they're from another church and they come and they like our church, but they can tell there's something different about it. And a lot of times they've got to sit here and listen because they're not used to doctrinal preaching. They're not used to expository, verse-by-verse preaching. But we have to intentionally contend for the faith and teach it to the following generations. I mean, I want Gavin to know what he believes, why he believes it. He may be a future leader in this church. And then, we've got to teach biblical doctrine. You've got to pass on that biblical truth to the next generation. And then you've got to stand for sound doctrine. You can't give up. Even when it's unpopular. I mean, a lot of people would say, well, why can't we just let down on that a little bit so we can get more people? See, that's probably what First Baptist Church of Moorhead did. Way back in the 50s and 60s and 70s. And it progressively ate away at their membership till they're promoting perversion now. Jude says this, Jude 1:3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. we are to earnestly contend. That means to intensely struggle for the faith, the biblical doctrine that was delivered by Christ and the apostles. That faith was delivered once and for all. It never does change. And we're not to attempt to change it. We're rather to stand for it. So how can we do it? Our church has to make sure that we're going to hold to the biblical doctrines of the Word of God. And when a church calls a pastor, they need to call a man who is sound, who is biblical, and who is a Baptist. You know, church, it's the church as a body that ought to be engaged in the work of the Lord. It's not just one man. It's our body. We've got to agree together to earnestly contend for the faith. As I read this Bible study that Brother Stratton gave, I thought, you know what? I need to go over that. Even though, you know, I believe these things, and I've taught them, I want you to understand how important it is that we never let down on the faith once delivered unto the saints.